You have anything else to share? The other comment I wanted to make, well, both are similar because you talked specifically about the tourism-related properties, and then you talked about the large landholdings and them not being utilized and could have been used for agriculture and for crops and stuff like that. So same point, which I think was squarely fitting in making those recommendations now that you get a chance. Because, you know, oftentimes we feel as though we are not given that opportunity to share our views.
Yeah,
it's not only the programs, but if you're given an extra suggestion, an extra opportunity, it should be taken up. And we here on this same very program, I was very pleased on Sunday when David Ellis sat down with Prime Minister Motley, and she was able to share on the same matter of the road tax and the same thing that I remember talking about a couple of weeks ago, just probably only 2 weeks ago, and I said my suggestion was that those persons who fall within the category of the day of the budget and those persons and the day when the program would have come into existence, which would have been the 1st of July, those persons who fell within that category should have been considered or should have been given some opportunity to get some rebate in some form. And likewise, they listened, and you're now privileged to have 75%. If you write the Ministry of Finance, you know, get back 75% of that same tax if you go ahead and pay. So it is in this regard that issues and suggestions are taken on board. And I think if this is the norm going forward, a lot of us will be more satisfied with sharing issues, whether on brass tacks or when the commission allows for a discussion or for public suggestions to be made. There's also an email. I tried to share it with a gentleman this morning on WhatsApp, but I think I left the at sign off. It is ideas4barbados at barbados.gov.bb. I hope someone writes again, because last time I asked for it on air, and someone was very quick to share that exact email, so that if you have any suggestions relative to any ministry, you can put forward those suggestions and hopefully someone would receive them and your specific issues would be considered.
Mm-hmm. The final point, Mr. Gale, has to do with this current situation concerning the youth and crime.
Yes.
I remembered the late David Thompson, when he first came on board, one of the first things that he enunciated was crime and violence among the youth. And he thought, being a young man himself, having come through all the youth organizations and contact with young people, he thought there was a disconnect between the youth and the adults. And he saw that disconnect as a link that we use to transition young people into adulthood by the association with older people and other occupations. It was called the apprenticeship scheme. I don't know if you remember or know anything about it. The apprenticeship scheme, where young people were attached to workshops and to master workmen and so on the scheme where they were going to learn a trade or a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested that for the first year or 18 months or so, they'd just be given something called a stipend of bus fare and lunch money. But of course, he was laughed at by the end party. But there is much to be reflected on in that, because if you have a youngster and you put him in a situation where he's learning a trade, which he can then use later on for his own good, and you give him bus fare and lunch money just to get him turned from, I think that is better than not giving him anything. You don't have the apprenticeship anymore. He's not getting bus fee, not getting lunch money, he's touching outside the road. I think he's much worse off. So I think we should take another look at that. It might be old-fashioned or old, but it worked. I think we should take another look at it. I'm also concerned, Ms. Gale, that a lot of our young people are growing up in Barbados without the underpinnings of any moral or spiritual enlightenment or awakening. And a lot of our young people don't go to church, don't go to Sunday school, they don't read the Bible, they don't know any commandments. And I believe that is a gap that we are supposed to fill as adults, because those of us who are adults now, we had the benefit of the church and the schools and people who would come to the church and school and talk to us and so on. Mm-hmm. They don't have the benefit anymore. I don't know for what reason. What I've seen recently is very disturbing. That is, a youngster gets cut down in his prime. His family will get the biggest church they can find. and all his friends and his relatives and so on can show up, and it can be one big event. And then you see all these priests and pastors and the fours and fives showing up too. They can find time to come to a funeral, up to your funeral, and to pontificate, you know, all over the place with heaven and hell and fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. When the youngsters, they're laying in a pine box, you can't have, you're no use to him. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to scare off you people who are there listening. So they're going to stay even farther from the church. I am saying that the church leaders have got to recognize their responsibility. You cannot leave it up to the government, or you can leave it up to law enforcement agencies. We have to get to these young people very early in their lives and let them know that there's something to life other than clothes and money and cell phones and fashion, because there is that gap, that wide gap in the lives of these young people where they don't even seem bad their own lives. And I think that church leaders are not blaming said churches alone, but I think it is time that they reach out to young people, especially in our schools, secondary schools, the fourth and the fifth forms especially, and spend a little time talking to them or reasoning with them as the case may be, and letting them see that there's something to life other than material things. And I think that's where we have to start. The police can't do it. The government can't do it by itself. And parents, of course, have lost control. The school seems to have lost control. I believe it is left up to the church teachers now. Miss Gail, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember that?
I remember the story, but I want to respond to your last comment.
Yeah, let me just say this here.
Yes.
That story is very poignant. It's very, 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 very significant. It says that a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho was set upon by thieves and robbers who beat him and left him for dead. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, in that parable, who took it seriously? Jesus said the first person that came down past that gentleman was a priest. I don't know if we use that term, but I find it significant. A priest. Mm-hmm. He said the priest went and looked at him and decided that he had no time to deal with him. He had to go to church to do God's business. Then down comes the Levite and so on and so forth. And we knew that eventually an ordinary citizen came along and helped that man. I think that the priests of pastors and the bishops and all these church people in the world time should take that parable seriously, because it points at them.
They I think it points at everyone. But and it I, means that we I, should be our brother's keeper.
Exactly. But I'm saying now the parable itself.
The parable itself speaks to everyone. It encompasses the clergy, and it encompasses the professionals. Mm. And it says, look at somebody who was not even a Jew. Mm-hmm. And that person looked on and saw that a Gentile was suffering, mm-hmm. and was still able to help the Gentiles simply because of love. So it was more talking about all of us looking out for our brothers and our sisters. But I want to take you up on your previous comment, sir, before we go. And you said that the schools have lost their way, the parents have lost their way, and the church leaders are pontificating on occasion. And our youth are not being, you know, they're not exposed to what the Barbados of yesteryear would have been exposed to. And I dare posit that we not go to something else or another grouping to be the ones to assist, but we take responsibility in all of the facets of society. And I say that the schools have to do their part. They can't be the only ones being relied on. The parents have to do their part. They can't be the only ones. And as I started earlier in the program, where I said it takes a village to raise a child, I mean that all of the categories of help that could be possible to help that child get along would be what is needed, and it encompasses both the church, the government, the parents, the neighbors as well, the other students in the neighborhood and at school. And everybody needs to play their part. If we were to take personal responsibility, and I go back to that as a is one of my personal passions. People need to play their role in whatever sphere of influence they have. We used to sing a song many years ago where I touch you and you touch her and she touches him. And, you know, our touch goes on. But if we just in a one space and nobody ain't touching anybody, there's no impact. But your sphere of influence is different from mine. But at least I get to touch somebody. and yours is different, and you get to touch somebody. So I wouldn't have an impact on, let's say, block C, but I may have an impact on block B because I live in block B. So that all I'm saying is that we all have to play our role, and I thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, the number to call, 434-1790 or 266-4862 WhatsApp. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. And yourself?
Hi, all right. Lisa, I got 3 questions to put on your table. I don't know if you can multiply stuff, track our device. One time the health inspectors used to come out and visit the homes and the surrounding area. No, you don't see one. That's number one. Number two, these schools that got the janitors and the teachers were picking out one that they didn't need to change it around. Lisa, and next thing I want to talk about national housing. I was in a unit, and therefore, when I was in the unit, not that I can pay the rent. I used to pay the rent, like, sub with you, sub with Mr. Johnson, like, where the car may go. Mm-hmm. And my rent went up, and I decided, well, look, it's better for I to tell, because the man keep coming to me, this inspector keep coming to me from National Housing. I say, I'm working, but I don't get the money. The same time, I just got to wait till the check ready. Mm-hmm. So I will pay you. And they keep on bothering me to see content coming. When I get it in a lump sum, Lisa. And I went and I pay off my debt. I'm saying this to say that if you was in my house, with this National Housing Corporation thing, you will have to pay the rent or I will give you notice. And it's too hard. Decide how you can pay the rent. Go mm-hmm. to the people and say, look, I'm working, but I don't get the voucher the same time. I just wait till after, and then I will submit. You know, when I change the money, I will pay. But you can't live in people's house and don't pay. Because if you're going to somebody's house, they will do the same. Have a good afternoon, love.
Thanks. You said you had 3 questions. You didn't ask me any questions. You commented on 3 things. One being the health inspectors not coming out. So I guess the question there is, do they still come out? I know they go to varying establishments as it relates to those persons who apply for certificates or licenses to play their trade. And then the other one, you mentioned teachers and janitors. I'm not so sure what you meant there. That one isn't clear. And then as it relates to NHC and persons paying their rent, yes, it is important if you have a landlord that you enter into some agreement if you're having difficulties with payment, because it is a relationship between the two, and there should never be a scenario where you just indefinitely not pay and expect to remain within the same, unless, I mean, even if you have difficulties, you let them know and you ask for a way in which you can work on it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gale.
Morning, sir.
How are you today?
Well, thanks.
Right. At least I was waiting for you, because the last time we spoke, mm-hmm. You said you agree to disagree.
Yes, so I recall.
This morning, I'm hoping that we will agree on certain suggestions that I will be talking about.
Okay.
Which is right up your street. Having been involved for some time with the Chamber of Commerce, I think you have been privy mm-hmm. to some of the ideas and some of the plans that might have been implemented or should have been implemented in Bridgetown. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, I had some time there.
So I want to talk now to the fact that the areas that we could look at in a new regime, also to bring in revenue for the respective areas. But first, let me compliment the former Member of Parliament for the city, Dame Billy Miller, on her achievements as far as the city redevelopment is concerned. And I think all of us are aware of that, the Bridgetown Wickham Walk, the Parliament Square, Independence Square, Jubilee Gardens, the removal of the church wall, St. Mary's Church wall. There have been several things that credit must be given to the former Minister and Member of Parliament for the city. But I believe that you and I will agree now that there can be further improvement in relation to the city. For example, there is a plan now being discussed for the area of 40 acres of land at Gemmets Lane, which run from River Road to Bay Street, since they've had the fire at the old General Hospital. Now, my suggestion on this, that this will make ample recovery and development for the city in terms of the right type of housing, since the Prime Minister is talking about housing of the past seems to be outdated. I think this is a plan on an area that can now be replaced into new development in terms of housing and removing those type of houses that you might find in Queen Street, Spruce Street, Nelson Street over a period of time. Now, this is what I'm thinking about, Lisa. Sometime back, the government and a private developer could do this as well, to build a series of houses at the bottom of the farm. They were known as quad houses. I don't know if you would have seen them as you leave the farm to go over to Brighton. These houses were built, and I think it's one initial plan that has not been continued.
You mean the ones that have the just a square box, basically, with no patio?
I don't know. This one has a patio. Okay. These have a patio. And surprising people that will not relate, they have a little backyard that you can plant anything, mm-hmm. herbs or anything like that. But they're nice. You must look at them if you pass through. Going over to Brighton or coming from Brighton across to the farm, they're on the left there. There are five quad houses that was built back in 2001, 2002.
Okay.
Now, I am of the opinion that the 40 acres of land there at Jemis Lane can go for an improvement of housing, not only for the generalized area that I've just mentioned, for Barbados in general.
Question, before you go on, this 40 acres of land, that has been already identified?
Well, Coming out of notes that I've read, and coming out of this is the whole area where the old General Hospital was.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather that there is a look between the member of the city and the member of Ministry of Housing and Lands as the plans for the development of that area.
But is it for housing? You're suggesting that they use it for housing?
I am suggesting that an urban plan should be put in place for housing, not just housing, but housing that entails a development where instead of the housing, there's areas for sport facilities and different mm-hmm. things. But the type of housing to be built is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And you're thinking about removing, which you can now expand the area below, which is Nelson Street, which is Spruce Street and Queen Street, for further development. So you're now regenerating a new Bridgetown, a new city similar to what we have done with the London Bourne Towers. But we're not going to build high rise. We're looking at two units upstairs, downstairs, quad houses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the opinion, and I believe that when I talk to him, talking to some person, you're looking ahead of what I'm talking about, because you have been versed in the city plan. And you have been versed in, I know that. I've spoken to you about it on one occasion. So here you've got a situation where between River Road and Bay Street, mm-hmm. a series of houses that meet another 40 years down the road, another set of living standards that would meet 40 years down the road, and not building a slum as such where you're going to find people who will generate a ghetto type of living. People will probably want to offset the style that is needed for that area. You would know that you don't see any on these hanging over the London Bourne Towers. You don't see any petticoats hanging over the London Bourne Towers. You don't see anything like that. So when you drive past there, you're seeing a housing estate that is free of that style of living. Certain countries within the Caribbean, if you went downtown and you see those, then you look up, you see all types of things above your head, and you know what I'm speaking about.
But we have heights and terraces where you see a petticoat or two in some verandas, some patios, etc., though. So
yeah, but I can vouch to say this, Ms. Gail, that I have never seen, and I think the people in London Bourne could attest to this, I have never seen any hangings in the London Bourne Towers, even though there's a whole set of units there. But don't let's take that away from what we're looking at, because this can be put in place by a management and a well-structured plan for that. But I believe that the Ministry of Housing and Lands, coming out of the statement made by the Prime Minister that housing has been outdated, when you look at the housing in the Pine, you look at certain, we have to have some houses to house our people.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're thinking in terms of a new area of land, I think a new area of housing, I think that it should be the experiment should be taken on that area of land there on Bay Street. I leave an opinion for, because I want to hear your opinion on it. We always agree to disagree. So let me see if you can disagree or you agree with me now.
Not always. You don't always disagree. You have some good views. I just, we don't share every view that, each other would have. But continue.
Let's go further. There are lots of revenue lost in this country that should be obtained. And I say that to say this, I'm going to be, people may wear not over my shoulders now, but I think if you really understand what I'm saying, or those understand what I'm saying, is that the lifestyle that we have got, if you want to maintain this lifestyle, there's a lot of freeness that is exposed at a particular level. Take, for example, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Those of us who have been visitors to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital as outpatients are given a card. That card is dated, an appointment card, and there are thousands and thousands of those appointment cards out there, which means if you go to the hospital, you go by your appointment card, but you don't pay anything for it. Mm-hmm. I believe that a fee, if no more than $10 a year, could be instilled on that card, $10 a year, because they've got some people who go to the hospital who drive 350 BMWs, 400,000 BMWs, they hold those cards. So if you have to pay a $10 annual fee, and the amount of cards that are out there on those cards, then the hospital is likely to be picking up at least $500,000 per year for buying the dispensary, buying various things to keep the hospital going. And I believe that this should be looked at. It cannot be hard on the average person because they complain about this and they complain about that. But I think bringing all reserves together and looking at things that we should be able to pay for, I think that should be one. The other one, lots of families carry the relatives and put them in graveyards. The will is the probate, and eventually the person owns that estate of which the person left above the surface. Nothing is done to that graveyard. It runs down, and they don't go back to it. So they have to open it to put some person in it, in the family. I believe that with a proper management scheme, that graveyard should become an intake of revenue over the years. That is to say that everybody who owns a piece of burial ground, a piece of... should have a right to maintain that area, and should have a right, if no more, I don't care how poor you can be, that is one of the areas of concern, that somewhere along the line you maintain that grave, somewhere along the line that you'll be able to pay to have that grave maintained. And I think that this will save the state. The one with the hospital under the Minister of Health would save the state millions of dollars in terms of that contribution. The one with the graveyard will have a better upkeep of the graveyard, and people feel more respectable as far as the families that they are driving and living on the estate left for them. Let me hear your opinion.
Okay. Proper management scheme for graveyards. I support your view. I'm here contemplating the person who would have had someone who would have died and haven't ever gone back, or the person who goes back and every time they go back they're sad. And you know, graveyards, that's something that, I mean, not to be, it shouldn't be left at the hands of the persons who I wouldn't say own them, the persons who have a stake in them, or who have a dead person living, or a dead person residing, or somebody who's died and gone there. But then there's also the other element of the owner of the actual graveyard, because we do have a few. Most of them are the churches. And that's something that there has to be a discussion about, and those persons need to come together and have some kind of conversation. It's just not one I can just automatically have an opinion, because I've not really given it much thought. We do have a caller, a WhatsApper, who shared their perspective on the Anglican ritual of communion, and in sharing that it is not the most sanitary for them to be using a one cup, and then at the end the pastor, the priest, will then finish off the rest. And then another WhatsApper here who mentions that yes, they have seen an inspector in January of 2018, so they are still coming around. And then another WhatsApper that asks, why can't we use that same stretch, the same stretch that you're talking about, Mr. Williams, why can't we use that for hotel development and for the UE and BCC offices for those students? This is Down to Brass Stats.